Welcome to Zichur Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos Daf Tzadi. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the second Mishnah on the Daf states that if one carries out a pedwar's baka, kupas harochlin, on Shabbos, he's only liable for one chatas, even though there are many different spices placed in the box. Rashi explains that these pedwars sold perfumes and fragrant spices to women, and their boxes contain many smaller boxes, each with its small bundles of spices. Even though carrying out the box results in the transfer of many different types of species, it's still viewed as a single act of caring. Point number two, there's a machlokas on the Mishnah regarding transferring locusts. The Tanakhama holds that one is liable for taking out a live kosher locust of any size because one would give it to a child to play with. If it's dead, it has the status of food, and it needs to be the size of a dried fig, a gregaris. Rav Yehuda holds that one is even liable for taking out a live non-kosher locust, whatever its size, since people store it for their child to play with. Then the Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds that people will not store live non-kosher locusts for their kids, out of concern that if the locust would die, the child would eat it. Therefore, one is only liable for transferring them if they have the minimum shear. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that if the non-kosher locust will die, the child will eulogize it and not eat it. Therefore, people will store live non-kosher locusts, and one is liable for transferring them regardless of their size. And point number three, the first Mishnah, the 10th Perek, states that if one stored a minute amount of a substance for a particular purpose, such as a seed for planting, then one is liable for taking out this minute amount. Now, Abai explains that the Mishnah's case is where the person stored the item for designated use and then forgot what he stored it for. One might have thought that if he then carried out a minimal amount of the item into Rishus HaRabim, his original intent would be nullified and he would be exempt from Achatas. The Tanna is therefore coming to teach that Kol Osa al Das Rishona Hu Osa. Anyone who does something without specific intention is presumed to be doing it based on his original intent. Therefore, the item retains its significance and the person is liable. So once again, the three points are number one. The second Mishnah on the Daf states that if one carries out a peddler's baka, kupas harochlin, on Shabbos, he is only liable for one chatas, even though there are many different spices placed in that box. Now, Rashi explains that these peddlers sold perfumes and fragrant spices to women, and their boxes contain many smaller boxes, each with a small bundle of spices. Even though carrying out the box results in the transfer of many different types of spices, it's still viewed as a single act of caring. Point number two, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah regarding transferring locusts. The Tanakhama holds that one is liable for taking out a live kosher locust of any size because one would give it to a child to play with. If it's dead, it has the status of food and it needs to be the size of a gregaris, a dried fig. Rav Yehuda holds that one is even liable for taking out a live non-kosher locust, whatever its size, since people store it for the child to play with. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds that people will not store live non-kosher locusts for their kids, out of concern that if the locust would die, the child would eat it. Therefore, one is only liable for transferring them if they have a minimum shear. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that if the locust will die, the child will eulogize it and not eat it. Therefore, people will store live non-kosher locusts, and one is liable for transferring regardless of its size. And point number three, the first Mishnah, the 10th Perek, states that if one stored a minute amount of a substance for a particular purpose, such as a seed for planting, then one is liable for taking out this minute amount. Now, Abai explains that the Mishnah's case is where a person stored the item for a designated use and then forgot what he stored it for. One might have thought that if he then carried out a minimal amount of the item into Rishus HaRabim, his original intent would be nullified and he would be exempt from Achatas. The Tanna is therefore coming to teach us that Kol Osa al Das Rishona Hu Osa. Anyone who does something without specific intention is presumed to be doing it based on his original intent. Therefore, the item retains its significance and the person is liable. All right, so now we get to our Siman for Tzaddik, and in this case, 90% of suggestions were some variation of Tzaddik. We had Holy Tzaddik, Olam HaVavnik. We had Rabbi Shai Klein from Manchester suggesting a little Tzaddik having his upsharon. And then we had Semi Raskis from the Old City of Yerushalayim suggesting, which is a sign you get when you open up a can of soda, and then to cover his bases, he suggested a Tzaddik opening up a can of soda. And then perhaps most off the beaten track was Sam Yusupov from Woodmere, New York, who suggested a math teacher teaching 90-degree angles. Anyway, great suggestions. And even though most people suggested Tzaddik, I'm not going to go with it because I find it a little bit hard to work with and I don't want to do anything that would be disrespectful. So I'm going to go with a suggestion that came from David Levine from Thornhill, Ontario, Canada, which is just part of Toronto or just north of Toronto, and Nathaniel Yankelev from Clifton, New Jersey, who suggested a tzedakah box or pushka. A tzedakah box, pushka. That's going to be our siman for tzaddik. But thank you, everybody, for all your suggestions. So here goes. The little boy who put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust, was so distraught he couldn't remember why he carried the single seed into Shusarabim. Once again in slow motion. The little boy put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah. Tzedakah, box, that means we're on Daf Tzadi. The little boy put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah, which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states that if one carries out a peddler's box on Shabbos, he's only liable for one chatas, even though there are many different spices placed in the box. Rashi explains that these peddlers sold perfumes and fragrant spices to women, and their boxes contain many smaller boxes, each with its small bundle of spices. Even though carrying out the box results in the transfer of many different types of spices, it's still viewed as a single act of caring. So the little boy put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust, which reminds us that there's a machlokes in Mishnah regarding transferring locusts. The Tanna Kamma holds that one is liable for taking out a live kosher locust of any size because one would give it to a child to play with. If it's dead, it has the status of food, and it needs to be the size of a gregarious. Rabbi Yehuda holds that one is even liable for taking out a live non-kosher locust, whatever its size, since people store it for their child to play with. The Gemara explains that the Tanna Kamma holds that people will not store live non-kosher locusts for their kids out of concern that if the locust would die, the child would eat it. Therefore, one is only liable for transferring them if they have a minimum shear. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that if the locust will die, the child will eulogize it and not eat it. Therefore, people will store live non-kosher locusts, and one is liable for transferring regardless of its size. So the little boy who put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust was so distraught he couldn't remember why he carried this single seed into Shusarabim. Which reminds us, the first mission, the 10th Perek, states that if one stored a minute amount of a substance for a particular purpose, such as a seed for planting, then one is liable for taking out this minute amount. Abai explains that the mission's case is where a person stored the item for a designated use and then forgot what he stored it for. One might have thought that if he then carried out a minimal amount of the item into Shusarabim, his original intent would be nullified, and he'd be exempt from a chatas. The Tanna is therefore coming to teach us that kol osa al das rishanu osa, anyone who does something without specific intention is presumed to be doing it based on his original intent. Therefore, the item retains its significance, and the person is liable. So once again, the little boy who put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah, after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust, was so distraught he couldn't remember why he carried the single seed in Shusarabim. All right, so now it's time for our four blot back Chazara. Daf Pei Vav, so the Simur Pei Vav is police. Here goes. The police, that means we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police were told to prepare for 3 days, which reminds us, the next mission teaches that the source for the halacha that a woman who emits semen on the third day after intercourse is Tameh is from the Pasuk in the Parsha regarding the preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Hayu nechonim l'shoshes yamin. Be ready for a 3-day period. Rashi explains that since the 3-day period was prescribed to give the woman the opportunity to immerse themselves after intercourse and be in a state of tahara for Kabbalah Satorah, we learn that semen remains viable for up to 3 days, and its discharge is metame, the woman. And the entire daf is centered around this topic. So the police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak, which reminds us, Rav Avinu bar Abba said that Moshe always ascended Har Sinai at daybreak, and he descended at daybreak. We know that he ascended at daybreak based on the pasuk, V'yashkin Moshe b'buk v'yal Har Sinai. And Moshe rose early in the morning and ascended to Har Sinai. We know that he descended at daybreak based on a hekesh in the following pasuk, Lech reid v'alisa ata v'aron imach. Go descend that you shall ascend and Aaron with you. Just as Moshe's ascent was at daybreak, so too his descent was at daybreak. So the police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak to seek evidence as to when the Aseret HaDibros were given. Which reminds us, there's Malchus Tanaim regarding when the Aseret HaDibros were given. The Rabban hold they were given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi holds they were given on the 7th of Sivan. Rava brings proofs from Sukkim that they both agree that Bnei Yisrael arrived at Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan and that their Torah was given on Shabbos. They disagree as to which day of the week Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on. Rabbi Yossi maintains that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, making Shabbos the 7th of Sivan. The Rabban hold that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, which would result in Shabbos being the 6th of Sivan. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Simur Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Zayin. The golden Pez candy dispenser given to the student the teacher agreed with 3 times, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa. Moshe did 3 things based on his own understanding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him in each instance. Number 1, Moshe added 1 day of abstinence in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Hashem agreed, and the Shekhinah did not rest on Har Sinai until Shabbos morning, which was after the day Moshe had had it. Number two, Moshe separated from his wife after the Aseres HaDibros. Hashem agreed, and when he told Moshe to tell everyone to go back to their wives, he said to Moshe, Ve'ata po amodi madi, but as for you, Moshe, stand here with me. And number three, Moshe broke the luchos. Reish Lakish learns from the pasuk referring to the luchos, asher shibarta, that which you broke. The Kosh Baruch Hu said, Yasher kochoko shibarta, your strength shall be true to its mark because you broke the tablets. Rashi explains that Reish Lakish interpreted the word asher, which, to mean ishur, an affirmation. So the golden Pez candy dispenser, given to the student the teacher agreed with three times, was to be used within the tchum on Shabbos, which reminds us, there's a Malchukas Amoraim regarding the scope of Shabbos laws that were commanded in Mara. Rava holds they were commanded to observe the primary laws of Shabbos, but not the laws of Tchumim, Shabbos boundaries. According to Rava, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Shabbos and arrived in Midbar Sinai the next day. Rav Acha bar Yaakov holds that the laws of Tchumim were also given in Mara. Therefore, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Sunday and arrived in Midbar Sinai the same day. So the golden Pez candy dispenser given to the student the teacher agreed with three times was to be used within the Tchum on Shabbos and featured 10 candy bricks, each stamped with a crown. Which reminds us, the Tanna taught that the verse of Nisan Natal Eser Ataros took 10 crowns, meaning 10 things began on that day. 1, creation. 2, the offering from the Nesim. 3, the Kahuna. 4, Avoda. 5, a heavenly fire on the Mizbeach. 6, eating Kajim. 7, the Shekhinah residing in the Mishkan. 8, Berachos Kohanim. 9, the prohibition against Bamos. And 10, the first of the months of the year. Da Peches. So the Simmer Da Peches is a pach, a garbage can. So here goes. When the big brother was caught holding a garbage can, that means we're on Daf Peches. When the big brother was caught holding a garbage can over his kid brother, which reminds us, Rabbi Vdimi Bar Chama Bar Chassa said that the Pasuk B'Yitzatzi B'Tachin Zachar, they stood at the foot of the mountain, comes to teach, Shekafa Kosh Baruch Olam as a Harkigigis. The Kosh Baruch covered them with a mountain as though it were an upturned vat, and said, if you accept the Torah, fine, but if not, Sham Tehik Baraschem, your burial will be there. Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov said, Mikan Moda Rabba La Araisa. From here there are grounds for a notification of coercion regarding the acceptance of the Torah. Rava said, nevertheless, they accepted the Torah again in the days of Achashverosh, as it says, Kimu v'kibu ha-Yehudim. The Jews established and accepted. He interprets this to mean, Kimu mashi kibu kvar. They established in the days of Achashverosh what they accepted in the days of Moshe. So when the big brother was caught holding a garbage can over his kid brother, demanding he pledged Naase v'Nishma to him, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, when Bnei Israel said Naase before Nishma, Abbas called emanate and said to them, Migilu levane razeh shemal chayashar is mishtam shimbo. Who revealed to my children the secret which the Malach HaYasharis use? Rashi explains that a Malach stands ready to do Hashem's will, even before he knows what it entails, unlike other servants that wait to hear the instructions to determine if they can accept them. So when the big brother was caught holding a garbage can over his kid brother, demanding he pledge Naase v'Nishma to him, he explained to his parents the whole reason the Torah was given to him is specifically because he has a Yetzirah. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that when Moshe ascended to Shemayim, and the Malach HaYasharis were told that he had come to receive the Torah, they asked how something that was stored as a treasure for 974 generations before the world was created could be given to flesh and blood. Hashem told Moshe to answer them. After Hashem afforded him protection from them, Moshe proceeded to point out how the mitzvahs have no relevance to the Malachim. They were not in Mitzrayim, never enslaved, they don't live among Obadiah Avodah Zorah, they don't engage in Malacha to require ceasing from it, and so on. After he challenged them and asked them if they had envy or Yetzirah, they immediately conceded that each Malach, including the Malach HaMavis, gave him a gift. Daf Pei Tes. So the symbol for Pei Tes is a chant pot. So here goes. The ravenous Yeshiva Bachrami asked the cook Thursday night, where is the coveted chant pot? Chant pot, that means we're on Daf Pei Tes. The ravenous Yeshiva Bachrami asked the cook Thursday night, where is the coveted chant pot? Which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught that when Moshe descended Har Sinai, Satan came and asked Hashem where the Torah was and was told, I gave it to the earth. Satan searched everywhere and couldn't find it. Hashem told him to go to Ben Amram. Moshe responded to the Satan, who am I that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given me the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe that he was a fibber, since of course the Torah was given to him. Moshe responded, you have this coveted and treasured Torah that you delight in every day. Who am I that I should flatter myself that you gave the Torah to me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, since you diminished your role in receiving the Torah, it should be called in your name. As it says in the Pasuk, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. So the rabbin in Yeshiva Bachrim asked the cook Thursday night, where is the coveted chalom pot? And we're told it's been tucked away behind the mountain with five names. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinina said that Har Sinai has five names. Midbar Tzin, because the Jewish people were commanded upon it to observe the Torah. Midbar Kadesh, because the Jewish people were sanctified upon it. Midbar Kedemos, because the primordial Torah, the Kedumah, was given upon it. Midbar Paran, because the Jewish people were fruitful and multiplied next to it. And Har Sinai, because hatred, Sina, to idolaters, was brought upon it. Rashi says it means that Hashem's hatred of idolaters descended upon it for not accepting the Torah, and the Rambam says it's referring to the idolaters' hatred for Jews for receiving the Torah. Its actual name was Horeb. Rabbi Abba says its actual name was Har Sinai. It was called Har Horeb because ruin, churba, to idolaters descended upon it. So the ravenous Yeshiva Bachman asked the cook Thursday night, where is the covenant challah pot? And we're told it's been tucked away behind the mountain with five names for 12 and a half years. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonason, that in the future, Yitzchak will be the only patriarch willing to defend Bnei Israel from Hashem's judgment. His successful defense involved calculating the years that a person sins to a grand total of 12 and a half. A person lives 70 years, and therefore after deducting the 20 years that one is not punished, the 25 years that one sleeps, and the 12 and a half years that one prays, eats, and goes to the bathroom, there are only 12 and a half years that he has sinned. Yitzchak suggested that Hashem should shoulder them, and if not, he'll split them with Hashem, and even shoulder them all if necessary. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here we go. Number 1. Which daf do you learn that Har Sinai has 5 different names? That's on daf Peites. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that Moshe Rabbeinu did 3 things that Hashem agreed with? That's on daf Peizayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have a Malchus regarding the shear for carrying locusts out into Rishus Rabin? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn about Yitzhak's defense of Bnei Yisrael? That's on daf Peites. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss Satan searching for the Torah and coming to Moshe Rabbeinu? That's on daf Peites. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss Nasav and Nishma? That's on daf Peches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that if one forgets one's intent, the Rasumach on Das Rishona, what his original intent was when carrying? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended and descended Har Sinai at daybreak? That's on daf Peivav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a Malkos regarding which Shabbos laws were taught at Mara? That's on daf Peivav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that you're only liable one chatos for carrying out a kupas arochin, a peddler's box, out into Rishus Rabim? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a Malkos regarding which Shabbos laws were taught at Mara? That's on daf Peizayin. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that one is only liable one chatas for carrying out a kupas arochlin, a peddler's box of spices, into Rosh Hashanah? That's on daf Tzadi. Great. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that Takanas Ezra was modeled after Har Sinai? That's on daf Chaf. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss what the 18 brachas in Shmona Esrei correspond to? That's on daf Chav Ches. Great. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that learning with a reich ra she'ein lo ikker, if it comes from someone else, is mutter? That's on daf Chav Hey. Excellent. That concludes the Bob quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhoff from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.